This is an ABC podcast.
You're with Amber and Sabrina for Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
It is my favourite time of the day and my favourite part of the show to get to sit next to this wacky witch.
You know, that little intro there, I always imagine myself as being able to play an instrument. I can't.
She's just playing air piano.
No. I imagine myself as a bog witch in long bog witch attire playing a harpsichord.
Yes, she was, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, because it has that plucking sound rather than the donking, donking sound.
I'm glad you slowed up as you pronounced plucking. It was like a horse approaching a, what do you call it, dressage.
Yes, a dressage. Go over that, go over that. Up and over.
She's not the pheasant plucker.
No, and it's Mother's Day tomorrow and happy birthday to my Lucy because when she was born.
Aww.
I was thinking about Mother's Day because quite often I forget until it's just before. And I think about all the people that take on the mother role. I had a mathematics teacher in high school called Miss Post, and she was aptly named. She looked like a post. She was really severe, but she was the most beautiful human being, and she mothered me through mathematics. Miss Post, the only reason I can add 2 and 3 is because of your long suffering time that you spent trying to get me to fathom maths. She even got me doing trigonometry. Can't remember any of it now.
That's an extraordinary feat.
Yeah. So all those people that take on that mothering role. So, and on that, I'd like to thank all the mothers that kept my son alive for 5.5 months. All the doctors, all the nurses in particular, many of them who had their own children, who looked after my child so compassionately, so beautifully.
Have you spoken about this on Roots and Shoots yet?
No.
You haven't?
No, I haven't.
Do you want to just a quick fill-in?
No.
Okay.
What I do want to say is thank you to all the doctors and nurses at Royal Perth and at Charlie Gardner who did the most extraordinary job of mothering my Tom when I could not. Because I didn't have the skills.
Yeah.
But I did don sometimes. I put on the bluey. Especially when he was pooing the bed, but you know.
Always find the joy in it, hey?
You have to find the joy. I took one of the blueys home just to, you know, to remember things by.
If Nola's still listening, Nola sent in, she called Asha earlier in the show and said she was feeling really bad. She was having those, you know, mulling over something you said a year ago.
Mm.
And a year ago, because I'd mentioned that I had stuff going on with my heart and that I had the kind of less invasive procedure coming up and we were hoping that it was work. And it was going to work. And Nola texted in, which I thought was brilliant. Happy Mother's Day. Hope it's not your last. Which is precisely the kind of joke that I'm here for, yep. Nola, and do not for one second regret that. But she's because it did wind up being far more invasive.
Right.
Serious. She's had some feelings, and I just want to absolve you of all of those feelings, Nola. I had a very good laugh,
and it
wasn't my last. I have lived to see another Mother's Day. What are you doing? 1-300-222-1025 is the number to speak to this goddess that's sitting next to me. She's in you're in garden camouflage, like you could stand. Stand in the garden and disappear today.
It's almost like I'm in my army greens, isn't
it? She's in fatigues.
Well, because I just can't, you know, I get up in the morning, I just go, damn, I have to go in the studio, but I so want to be out in the garden. I thought I'll just put my camouflage garden gear on and go in like that.
Yeah, yeah. You look like you're going to go straight back to the garden, are you?
Yeah, I'll put me boots on when I get home, though.
Yes.
And gloves.
Okay.
You know, you were talking about, can I just, I know, because, well, Ash is going to take all the phone calls now. You were talking with Jessica about the big blue sea, about mothers. Now, I know that you're not a big keen of spiders. So,
do you know what? I'm getting better.
I want to tell
you. Did you tell me that they know our routines last week?
Yep, they do. Now, did you know there is one spider on the planet called, just blowing it up, Toxius Magnus. Toxius Magnus.
Sounds poisonous.
Is no. One of the little jumping spiders. Oh. Now, it produces milk. Taxius Magnus produces milk out of glands on the underneath the abdomen.
For its babies?
Yeah, for the babies. So she dollops the milk around the egg sac. So when the babies are born, they have a source of milk. She produces milk for 40 days. Now, considering that spiders only live for a year, she spends most of her life, you know, well, a big part of her immature life, no, her mature life, developing milk for the babies. So rather than them having to go out and find their own food, because Taxius don't eat each other, she spends 40 days not leaving the little nest and dolloping bits of milk for her babies.
Aww.
See how beautiful spiders are? That's commitment. Yep. And then the husband of some spiders actually sacrifices himself to be the first meal for the babies. It's pretty cool, isn't it? So it's they feed amazing. Off their dad. It's like, wow. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
A little just before the top of the hour, we had a question about whether BASO stands for Bassendean, and I said, "What do you abbreviate your suburb to?" And Ken says, "I grew up in Scabs, George is in Upper Swan, and Fran is in Rowley." Hello, Fran. Good morning to you. And the creek is Bull Creek. I love it.
Ah,
yeah.
And Willoughby is the G spot.
Of course, it is. Now, question. Sabrina and Amber, I'm going to be of no assistance to you whatsoever, Beck, but thank you for including me. Beck from Mount Nazura, and would like help with my lily pillies, please. Oh, hello.
Oh, hello,
she's
Beck.
On the phone. Hello, Beck. Thank goodness.
How are you going?
Yeah, good. You've got some lovely lily pillies.
Yes, and they seem to be growing very slowly. About 4 years, I'd say, and they get green growth, but they're just are struggling.
Okay, so now some parts of Mount Nazura are on clay, others is on sand. What's your soil type like? They look healthy though.
Yeah. I would say it's in that spot, sandy.
Okay, all right. So what do your wintertime temperatures get down to?
Daytime temperatures would be about 17, 18, and in the night would get down to about 5.
Okay. All right. I'm just asking because lily pillies, of course, are more of a warm climate, but that's fine. You've got the right range. I think what I would do is start getting stuff that builds up the microbial activity in the soil. So you can get drenches that you put in the soil that have lots of minerals in them, and they actually feed the life in the soil. So get some drenches. There's seaweed solutions. There's humic acid. There's all sorts of stuff you can do that actually incorporates bacteria and microbes in the soil. So yeah,
I've recently put a mix of blood and bone and sea soil on them, but I also wondered just chucking a whole lot of compost, whether that would...
Definitely. I would be putting compost, cow manure and a long, slow-release fertiliser. I know you've put blood and bone on, but blood and bone doesn't have all those trace minerals. You need trace minerals on there as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, great.
So get a fertiliser that's got humic acid or fulvic acid, a liquid one, and kelp in it. And you mix that up in a watering can and drench the soil. Then I want you to get a fertilizer that's not just NPK but got all the trace minerals like magnesium, manganese, zinc, iron, that sort of stuff.
Great. Awesome. Okay.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca, and good luck with that. Now we have a question. I've got a pretty ugly dam in view of my house. I'm thinking of greening it up. Here we go. I think we've got Harry on the line. We've got a couple of lines free. 1300 221025 if you would like to speak directly to Sabrina. Harry, that's a beautiful-looking dam you've got there.
Yeah. It's a lovely...
Yeah, people say that, but others might disagree.
It's pretty steep, actually. Is it? Do you need abseil down the wall?
Well, that's going to be the next question, is trying to probably
hold
some water runoff or
hold
something.
The edges, yeah. Okay, so the best thing, so what you do on slopes, there's actually this really awesome mesh stuff you can get, but it's probably not good for animals to get their hooves caught in. So the thing with slope is to slow the run of the water, and you do that by making swathes horizontally in a curve, swathes across, and then you plant the swathes out with grasses and ground covers. So grasses are great because they have this really mass of root system that that holds the soil in place, and then you can have like a ground cover in between. But are you going to have your is it used for stock? Is a dam used for stock?
No, it was originally put in as like a bit of a
feature
or a privacy from the road that passes, I think. But
It
ended up being more of an eyesore.
Okay, so they wanted to kind of create a bund, is what it's called. Ooh. Where you have a rise. So that you have
bund.
Privacy. Or
irony is they had a nice there was lots of planted mallee trees in there originally. And they all got removed to put the dam in that was meant to put up a privacy wall.
Okay, so you can go wild, Harry. So because, first of all, you have to slow the path of the water going down. So down the lower levels, you could put in Callistemons and Melaleuca because they love water because it's going to be really boggy down there. And then do the thing that I was talking about, making swathes, and you need grasses. And in your case, you're not putting stock in there, so you can have grasses and shrubs and trees, but you need to get the grasses in swathes to slow the water from eroding the walls.
Yeah, so it's not just going to run down in straight lines.
Yeah. Now, there's some wholesale nurseries that specialise in different grasses, and there's all the regenerative plants that they use for erosion. So you are better off because you buy the grasses in trays. Do not use things like isolepis because you'll just have a whole dam full of isolepis because they run rampant. So you've got to be very careful. I would go for grasses, not for sedges, not for rushes, okay? So you want grasses. Okay. There is a big wholesale nursery down here that you can buy all your grasses in tube stock, and they do it for rehabilitation areas. So if you stay online, the lovely Ash will give you the name of the nursery that you need to go to get trays of re-veg plants that will prevent your wall from eroding away.
Also,
beautiful.
Harry, if that was a lot to take in and you didn't get to write it down, you can listen back to the Roots and Shoots podcasts, and you are about 15 minutes in on that, so that'll go up later today if you missed any of that. I'm going to pop you back to Ash now so she can let you know the name of that nursery. Gavin, hello to you, Gavin.
Hi, how are you going?
Good.
I've got a blood orange tree that it's been growing for quite a while. I transplanted it 2 years ago into our chook shed where we have quite a few other plants that grow, fruit trees and stuff like that.
Yeah.
the problem is with this blood orange this year, it's fruiting nicely.
Yep.
But as soon as it starts turning orange, they're splitting right open.
Ah.
I lost 20 yesterday.
Yeah. So the reason that the main reason that citrus does that with the splitting of the fruit is because the amount of water that is being uptaken by the tree is different to what the tree thought it was going to get based on the water that it's had previously from the very early stages of fruit development.
Okay, so we don't water in there. We do, but not. I'm not really, and my partner doesn't water the tree much because we've had this problem before, but not like that. But this year, like we had fruit last year and it was in there, but this year's just a different story.
Have you changed any of your practices, fertiliser or?
Nothing. The only thing is now it's getting a lot of fresh chook food.
Oh, okay. I would really ease off on the chook poo then. So,
yeah, okay, so I might widen the fence around the base of it.
Yeah, because chook poo, like, chicken manure dumps pretty quickly. So yep. I think you'll find that it's had an excess of nutrients just going poof, and the fruit's gone, oh, I don't know what to do with all the nitrogen. I'll just get fat. And then when they get fat, they split their skin.
Oh.
Unlike when I get fat.
Yeah, so what
I don't like the look you just gave me then, Sabrina Hunt. She just looked me up and down, Gavin. It was the Western Suburbs once over. I tell you what, when you're in the Golden Triangle.
It was not. I was not looking.
She did up and down. Took me in. Gavin, has she been helpful?
She has been very helpful, thank you. I've got a fence around the base of it at the moment, so the chooks don't threaten the
roots. Yeah, just bring the chook poo away from the. Yeah. If you can get it away from the drip line of the tree, even better.
Yeah, well, I'll just widen.
And remember, citrus are also so all those surface feeding roots are up near the top. So I think they've just gone. Ooh, this is good, but not so good in the long term.
Okay, I really appreciate your help. Thanks a lot.
No worries.
Thanks, Gavin.
Thanks, Gavin.
Annalise is in Geraldton. Hi, Annalise.
Hello, ladies. How are you this morning?
Oh, we're both fat and happy.
Better way to be.
Are you only hearing this in your right ear?
Yeah, I had to pull my plug half out.
Yeah, it's happening to me as well, so I don't know.
If you pull your plug half out, you can get it in both ears.
Okay. No, now we're talking in the right ear.
There we go.
Boom, boom. Well done, Annalise. That's fast.
Joke of the week.
Ladies. my question, I've got an area of garden that we think we have Phytophthora in.
Oh.
Yes, and we've been pretty good at containing it just to that area. And we took out the grevillea and a bunch of other plants that weren't really doing very well in there.
Yeah.
We're trying shore juniper.
Yeah.
Juniper concertifolia.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's turned its toes up too.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. I suppose, they're conifer.
It's only cactus. Where we had the grevilleas,
right,
which cacti. So right. That's why we think it's
Well, die
I didn't
back.
Think it was that vulnerable, but it seems to have gone.
Yeah.
Do I need to go to like a rhizome, like a Lamandra?
I think Lamandra would definitely be okay. Lamandra, Dianella. The other thing I would try is Carex, Carex.
Yeah. I'm looking for a ground cover. That's my preference.
Right, okay.
It's a bank and it's full sun.
So there's a Carex called, what's it called? Rainbow Falls. No, not Rainbow Falls. Just anyway, it gets to about 60 centimetres high, but it's semi-weeping. So it gets a metre wide. So it actually acts as a ground cover. And the other one you could use is Poa, P-O-A. There's Poa Kingsdale, which is a beautiful greyish colour. Now, they do the same. So Feather Falls, it's Carax Feather Falls and Poa Kingsdale. Any of the Lamandras should work.
And then any ground covers I
can I'm just thinking I would give a crack to Eremophilus. There are so many ground cover Eremophilus. I know that everyone flogs the Eremophila Kalbarri carpet, but there's much better Eremophilus than that. So and
about Boobiella?
Myoporum. Yep, but get the creeping Boobiella, not the Myoporum parvifolium. Don't get that one. That won't do it. Yep. But the creeping Boobiella definitely will. And the other thing I would try is Acacia saligna prostrate, the prostrate one.
Absolutely.
Because grevilleas are not going to – grevilleas won't cut the mustard.
Listen to her. She's going boop. She's doing two things at once.
No, I'm not booping. I'm going through the checkout where somebody helps me.
Somebody else is booping.
We still have them in the country, In the country, we still have checkouts with people at them.
Yeah, so well, I only ever use the checkouts with people in them in the city because I want them to still have a job.
I know. Although sometimes they put the, you know, the rock melon on top of the bananas, so maybe
Annalise, thanks for the good times.
Thank you for your help, ladies. Have
very,
a wonderful afternoon.
Very quick wit. I did ask you what you call your neighbourhood or your suburb, and this person says, I grew up in Forre, which is Forestfield. We have a Subiaco. A Subiaco. And yes, Subiaco. What else have we got? I did get one. And we've got a message from here it is. I know it's been asked before, but for the life of me, I can't remember. What's wrong with our mango tree? We live in Bull Creek and have shake-off over it in summer. Cheers, Vicky from the Creek, which is like Jenny from the Creek.
Oh, it is too, Vicky from the Creek.
Yeah. Yeah, we should write a song. Let's have a look at this photograph of your mango. Got a couple of lines free. 1300 22 1025.
Potassium deficiency, most definitely. Vicky. Liquid potassium, Vicky. And definitely a trace element deficiency. So you need to go and get some trace minerals. You can put it on as a foliar spray. You can drench the soil in it. But I would definitely foliar spray with liquid potassium.
The split of fruit on the blood orange tree is caused by a boron deficiency. Boron helps with the uptake of calcium, and lack of calcium causes flow in the fruit to split. I am an agronomist from Catania.
Oh, hello, Theo. Von Lindberg.
Hello, Theo.
Theo. That's a good we don't actually have a lot of boron. You don't need a lot of boron as a plant. I know it causes that hulling and cracking. You know when you buy a cauliflower or a broccoli and all the inside of the stem is hollow?
Yes.
That's a boron deficiency.
There you go.
I would have thought where the navel oranges are growing wouldn't have a boron, but there's no harm putting a little bit of boron. You don't need a lot. Only need about a teaspoon in a watering can and drench your soil. If you're growing beetroot, broccoli, cauliflower, soak the seedlings in boron, just a teaspoon of boron in 9 litres of water, and soak the seedlings in that before you plant them out.
Just more sound advice from Sabrina Hahn. Now, Matty says, lived in Margaret River for a long time, known as Maggot Creek then, but Markup River.
That's good, isn't it? Nice transition.
If Maggot, you would like to ask
Maggot Creek.
Sabrina a question, 1300 22 1025 is the number. Got a couple of lines free. And so we might do this, I think.
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here we go now.
She's cooler than you and I, which is why she gets to choose a song.
Yes. Oh, although I can't, I just, Rage Against the Machine was just, I was making scrambled eggs at the time. I was fairly going off like a frog in a sock. It was so exciting to hear Rage Against the Machine played on the ABC.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of myself for, you know, feeling the fear and doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And getting out of it before the rude words came in.
I did notice, I was thinking,
how's she going to handle this?
How'll it go at the end then?
There's some very anxious back and forth between Asha and I with me going, are you sure it's clean?
Nothing people haven't heard
because
before.
Because those, yeah, true.
Anyway, tonight's entertainment by the Ryans.
Why did you choose this? What do you like about it?
Well, I was pruning a salvia because take the wireless out with me, aka the phone, and this came on whilst I was pruning my black and blue salvia, and I thought, oh, I quite like this to prune to. It's a pruning song.
It's a prune tune. Thank you. Sab's pick of the week, Something Entertainment by the Ryons, a tune for pruning. It is the Mother's Day edition of Roots and Shoots, where you get to be a mother to your plants.
You do. I reckon we should get the Sporty Boys with Sporty Balls to do, you know, how we promote their program coming on.
Yes.
I think they could promote Roots and Shoots for us today. On today's sporty time.
With fronds with benefits.
Yeah, absolutely.
Herb from Hovia is one of my favourite people to call in because when I asked Herb if he was a herb, what herb would he be? He said Basil, which is another man's name, isn't it, Herb?
Yeah, good morning, ladies. Yeah.
Morning, are you having Herb. A lovely breakfast with your missus this morning?
Oh, well, I will be having breakfast with her tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. You don't need two breakfasts 2 days in a running.
You sent photos of your brekkie? Was that you?
Oh, that was one of the breakfasts. I'm having breakfast here in Hovia.
There you go.
Yeah.
What's your question for Sab today?
Right. In Byford, we've got a sturt bee in a pot.
Yep.
Doing pretty well. I've sent a picture to sort of illustrate. We got some flowers on there, but with the cold and the wet coming, you know, towards us, what can we do to stretch out the flowering as long as we can?
Whoa. Get a heat lamp put over it. give it a little bit of red light. They don't like the cold, Herb.
Enjoy them while we can.
Yeah, just enjoy it. And you've got to make sure they don't get any rain. So are they out of the rain? I mean, no, we're not going to get rain for a while.
Yeah, I could lift that pot. It's liftable.
It's liftable?
And put it round under the eave of the house.
Yes.
And that might help.
Yeah, so, you know, because Hovia gets chilly nips in winter, so they're not going to like those cold nights. They'll take a few cold nights, but not really cold.
This plant is in Byford.
Oh, it's in Byford. Okay. Yes. Well, Byford, that's not too bad. Basically, you want to keep it dry. It needs as much warmth, like day warmth, as it can get.
The sun is shining on the wall behind it.
Perfect.
It would help it. Yeah.
That's perfect, Herb. You can't really do much more than what you've done there.
All right. Well, I'll make sure that it gets that.
Yeah.
When I get down there tomorrow.
Yep. And save your seed.
Ah, yes. We are getting pods with seeds in them. So that's really something to look forward to.
Fantastic. Because that next generation of seed will probably adapt better to Byford than, you know, up in the Pilbara.
Oh, nice.
Mm.
Very good.
There we go. Thank you, Herb.
Thank you, Herb.
Happy Mother's Day for tomorrow. Now, see you later. Now, Tracy has texted in and said has heard Bridgetown referred to as Fridgetown.
True.
Rhett's Hebe has got the jeebies. What's going on? Ooh.
Oh, so Rhett from Lake Coogee has sent through a picture of a Hebe. Now, Hebes are a bit like Westringias, I reckon. It's a hit and miss thing. You'll have a whole pile of Hebes and then just one will die, or then another one will die, and then, you know, another one dies after that. I think what it is a fungal disease. So I would try a little bit of the anti-rot on that, spray it, and see how she goes. And that's probably all you're going to be able to do. And we've got Justin. No.
Jennifer. Sam's got the emergency
set her glasses of on.
Cheap chemist specs.
I've lost my glasses and I've got a thing. I can't. It's like
it starts with J. Hi, Jennifer.
How you going?
I'm sorry,
pick
Jennifer.
Any J will do. Yeah. No, perfectly fine. So I'm here with my 91-year-old mother, and we are having an ongoing kind of no, I don't think so. Oh. Sort of friendly disagreement with regard to the demise of the two citrus plants in pots. And forgive me because I know you love the citrus.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Mum is a very good gardener and she's very, very attentive, and I personally think she's been overwatering them. Ooh. And Mum thinks that she has let them fruit too heavily. They did actually fruit.
Yeah, like a demon. Right, yeah. But it's not from fruiting.
You should see her looking at me.
How much now, will you pay us to say yes, Jennifer?
Now, if it had fruited too heavily, the symptoms of that would come out after the harvest.
Right.
So have you harvested recently?
Yes, no, but the symptoms started before the harvest.
Okay. All right. Well, yes. That could be that it was trying to. Anyway, so there's a couple of – it's never just one thing. I'm so sorry,
it's like
Jennifer.
Life, isn't it?
It's just like life. There's more than one cause.
Exactly so, right.
It's produced a lot of offspring, and as we all know as mothers, it's bloody intensive and it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It does have a nutrient deficiency. Now, how often is it being watered in that pot? And your mum has to be honest here.
I would say probably every second day.
Well, that's not too much.
Oh, no.
In the summer. Right.
No, yeah, okay. Definitely not too much.
What's
in the summer.
What's your mum's name, Jennifer?
She's giving me the look.
Okay.
Yeah, every second day.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's not overwatering. Now, the thing I can tell you, it has a massive magnesium, manganese and iron deficiency, and I would say zinc as well. I want you to go and buy some trace elements and I want you to pour it. So tip prune
We've
it.
Done
take,
all of that.
How often and when did you last do that?
Yeah, probably not frequently enough.
Do it every 2 weeks and you've got to do it right. For 6 weeks.
Right, okay.
And trace elements can take ages to actually be uptaken by the plant anyway.
Yeah. Has the lemon gone to God?
Is that what the stick behind it is?
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't – that's definitely had its last Mother's Day, that one. Take that out. Now, are your pots look like they're on the brick? They're not on steps.
They are raised up.
Oh, they are. Are
like
they?
It, but they are. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But, we're thinking that we should tip it over and drill more holes in the bottom.
That's definitely the way to go, and not the holes in the bottom. Right down on the sides of the pot near the bottom. Right, I think drainage. I think even though it's not per se being overwatered, I reckon if you had a look at the bottom of the pot, that will be sodden.
And I was wondering if that soil goes sour.
Yes, it does. Should, it doesn't go sour so much. Well, it does if it's sodden at the bottom. Is it possible for you and your amazingly strong mum to prune it back by even 50% or take a third off and repot it in fresh potting mix?
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. I might wait for my nephew to get here for us to do that.
So,
because I thought the soil might be a bit, going at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that's what happens with potting mix after a long period of time.
Yeah.
Mm.
Very good. Okay, so we both won.
Yes, you did. That's a beautiful way of looking at it. You both won that bet.
What's your mum's name, Jennifer?
Gwen.
Happy Mother's Day, Gwen.
Yes.
She's obviously a good mum because you're still talking to her.
She's a ripper.
Thanks for calling, Jennifer, and good luck with that.
Have a wonderful Mother's Day, you two.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Jim is in Oakford. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
What's your question for Sab?
We've got about a 2 metre high olive tree in a pot in Ferndale.
Yeah.
And the roots have gone through the bottom.
As would
do. I want to put it in, and it's also in an inconvenient position. So I've got to cut the roots off.
Yes.
Put it in another bigger pot, I suppose.
Yeah.
So after a bit of advice, so we're going to cut the roots.
Yes.
Would you cut the, what advice would you offer about the top?
You must prune the top if you're going to prune the root system. Now, Jim, the good thing for you to know is in the olive orchards where they rework the olives, they will dig up olives that are 1,000 years old, all right?
Wow.
So, and they prune the top and they prune the root system. So you do not need to worry about pruning the root system of an olive. Maybe once it gets over 500 years, then you've got to be really careful.
No, I don't think we need to worry about that.
So prune the top and then prune the root system. And you can either, you don't want it in the ground. Do you want to put it in a pot again?
Probably put it in a pot.
Yep, no problem whatsoever. So if you can go like a third bigger than the pot that you've got now, if you prune the top and prune the root system, it won't do it any harm at all.
How much of the top can you prune?
I would prune 50% off the top.
Okay, thanks very much.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. And Graham is in Kingsley. Hello, Graham.
Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Very. We are exceptionally well.
Excellent.
My problem is, I've got an olive tree. It's probably 15-odd years old. It's a Kalamata olive.
Yeah.
And it's always produced plenty of fruit. I used to get, 20, 30 litres of olives off the tree and process them. Now, it became very, very tall.
Yep.
And I could not get to a lot of the fruit.
Yeah.
So after the last fruiting, my brother and I took a chainsaw to it.
As you do.
And I'll blame him if it's the wrong thing to do. it was very tall. It was probably 6-7 metres tall.
Jesus. And, Mary and was, Joseph.
Yeah, it's a big one. And it started shooting again beautifully. Now within, it's only probably 15 months since we pruned it. It's now taller than it ever was.
Yep.
In a short time. And it's got two different types of foliage on it, and it's shooting from the base.
No, you don't want that.
Of foliage.
Oh, no, you don't want any of that base stuff.
No, I know.
So you've got, okay, so the thing with olive trees is they should be pruned every 2 years.
Oh, should they? Okay.
So when you look at the, you'll go into olive orchards in Europe and they are hundreds of years old, those olive trees. Orchards. They prune them so that they can pick the fruit so that you will never see an olive tree over there in an orchard that is more than 3 metres high.
Okay.
So they selectively prune where they open up the centre of the tree so it's vase-shaped, and then when it reshoots, some of those shoots, they take the shoots off so it doesn't get too crowded and you don't get those big, long, vertical shoots coming up.
Right. That's what I have at the moment.
Yeah. Mm. So you need to take at least 50% of those vertical shoots off. And then you're going to select the branches that you want to keep, and that's it. And
okay, because I'm warming up the chainsaw.
Yep.
Because I was going to think, I was thinking that it's beyond saving.
No, it's, and it's certainly not beyond pruning, which you'll like to hear, Graham.
Yes, absolutely.
So, no, get the old chainsaw out again and take off a lot of that whippy growth and never let it shoot from the base.
Okay.
Yep.
Lovely.
Thanks, Graham.
Thanks, Graham.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums tomorrow too.
Thank you, Graham.
Jimmy is in Mount Helena. Hello, Jimmy. What's your question for Sab?
Hi. I have a royal crimson miniature cherry in a pot.
Yeah.
I was wondering, during winter, would it be all right to put it in a shady area where it doesn't get much sun to get the chill thing?
Yep, absolutely, because it won't have any leaves anyway. So
yeah, so it doesn't need sun.
No.
Oh, good, great.
Yep, so go on.
And just quickly, you were going to give me a call last week about a wedding agent.
Ah!
And I've been messing with my phone, and for some reason, I didn't get to answer you.
Right. Okay. So stay online, Jimmy, and we'll get your number again and I'll text it to you.
Lovely. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy. And Frankie is in Boyanup. Hello, Frankie.
Good morning, girls.
Morning, Frankie.
Yeah. Now, I've put in 5-6 narrow-leaf fig longifolia.
Yeah.
Along the Colourbond fence.
Yeah.
And it says on the tag here that they are a rainforest of Queensland grown for their lush green leaves and weeping branches.
Foliage. Yeah.
Yeah. It says it's ideal for low light areas, indoors suitable or shade tree or feature plant. I've put them in at a bit better than an arm's length apart and they're looking really lovely, but my husband seems to think that they'll be over the house tomorrow.
Is it Ficus longifolia?
Yes.
Right. Okay, well, they get pretty wide, so about 5 metres wide, and you've planted them an arm's length apart.
It says here, height. Where does it say? I can't see what it said, the width.
Unless it's a hybrid of Ficus longifolia, they're a pretty large tree.
Cut it off when it gets to the height I want?
Yes, you can. You certainly can. You would probably need... You're going to need to prune it quite often.
Mm.
So the big problem is indoors that ficus remains quite small because it's contained in a pot. When they're in the ground, they go, woohoo! And will spread out. I would take every second one out and maybe put them somewhere else on the property. They're beautiful, but all those indoor ficus, when you put them in the ground, they go pretty well gangbusters. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at a tree that's going to get a lot bigger than what it would in a pot indoors.
Mm-hmm. So should I take them out or just leave them there and cut the top off?
They will re-sprout if you do that. You can try just cutting the top off. It will re-sprout for the next 5 years probably. Yeah. So you could do that if you just keep pulling the leaves off or put a herbicide on the stump. But if you leave every second one, Frankie, it'll be okay.
Oh, thank you very much, because they look just amazing.
Yeah,
they're really
beautiful. They're a really beautiful tree.
Frankie, thanks for that. Steph is in Frio, and we've got a couple of photographs of, what's that, Sabrina Hart?
That is a dying citrus tree, by the look of it.
Citrus.
Is Steph. Is that what you got, Steph? It's a grapefruit. It's not looking too peachy.
That's correct. It's 40 years old, hasn't seemed to be responsive to citrus fertiliser and all trimming around the base of it. So love some advice. Is there hope?
Probably not.
Oh, no.
It is looking like it's got dieback. Now, is there any cracking around the base of the trunk of the tree?
Yes.
Yeah. So collar rot is a form of dieback, and unfortunately your tree is absolutely riddled with it. And usually, and the fact that it's also 40 years old, does it have any sentimental value?
Yes, but I suppose if it's time, it's time.
It's bad. It's really bad. Because I was going to say, you could, if there is any healthy growth at all, you could take a bud. It's the wrong time of the year, but you could try a bud graft so that you take a bud from that tree and graft it onto another tree.
Then it'd be like Dolly the sheep, wouldn't it? It'd be like a clone.
A little bit like that. But it doesn't look, I honestly, Steph, I think it's too far gone.
Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate your advice.
I'm so sorry, Steph.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry that she was the bearer of bad news. It's her fault. It's not mine. Bye-bye. Good luck. Okay. Hopefully we can be of more – well, you can be of more service to John. It's not like it's your fault, though, is it, really, to be honest?
Hey.
Hello, John. Got a new motor.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Amber. You've just caught me hacking the suckers off the bottom of my olive tree.
Oh, hey, good man.
There's a lot of olive talk this morning. It's olive day.
From the previous fall. Yeah. All right. I'm glad we'll sort that. But now what I've got is some cherry tomatoes, which I put in quite late, and some of them are only 3 or 4 inches tall.
Yeah.
Is there any point me persevering with them, given that we're on the doorstep of winter?
Well, I don't know. Monday's going to be 26. Anyone that's got tomato plants in that are fruiting, don't take them out. Keep them in until they're dead. So, because I've got tomato plants that are looking awesome and I'm not going to pull mine out yet. They're still fruiting.
Mm.
Oh, and I've got 2 black crimson pots. They're about 2 feet high.
Yeah.
And not golf ball size black crims, but they sort of seem to be not getting any bigger and certainly not getting any red or black in them at the moment.
So what will happen as the weather gets colder and it's also the soil temperature gets colder, it'll take a lot longer for things to ripen. However, you can pick that fruit when it's fully formed and bring it inside. It may not colour up, but it still will be sweet and delicious.
Yeah, better than the shop ones.
On the bush. Could I put a little plastic bag around the fruit on the bush to try and warm it up that way?
You could. Bubble wrap would be better if you can make little bubble wrap bags.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
See what I got. Okay. Well, thank you, girls.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks, John.
Thank you, John. Fliss is in Hilton. Hello, Fliss. Got some photographs.
We've got some photographs that Amber has now blown up to gigantus size for a person that left their glasses or has lost them.
Asher, can't, I think you mean.
Oh, Ash. That I can't see a bloody thing. But so this is good. I've got an A4 size sheet size of what is happening with your Kaffir lime. So you also have, not you in particular, but you've got collar rot. Now, there is a spray that is made for collar rot. Two things. You've got all the root system exposed, which is a definite no-no for citrus. Second thing, you've either got rats that are chewing the base of it or you've got collar rot.
Well, it could be either.
Could be both. I'm guessing it's both. So what you need to do is treat the collar rot. So you're going to put on your nurse's uniform, get the bluey on. You're going to scrape away all the peeling bark and then you're going to go to a nursery and you're going to ask them for the product that you can paint and spray on your tree for collar rot. Okay? You're going to do that first. And on the leaf system, I can see you've got those mongrel caterpillars, what do you call them, grasshoppers.
We've had a few of them.
They're terrible at the moment.
They do, some of them.
Amber's looking for the grasshopper. There's not there, though,
Amber. Did you just
see
me shiver? I'm trying to overcome my critter fears.
It's not in there, but no, I can tell by the chew marks what's chewed. So you're going to do that. And then 3 weeks after you have done the collar rot treatment, you are going to put your kaffir lime into a pot where you can actually cover the root system with some potting mix.
A bigger pot.
Now, I remember somebody pulling us up and saying that we no longer call it by that
name.
What,
collar rot? Yes. Because of the,
the South African.
That's right, yeah.
Is makrut lime.
Makrut.
Makrut lime.
Yeah.
Because they're a bad association.
Yes.
Racist, very racist.
Sorry, yes.
No.
We're not racist.
No. Okay, so that's what I want you to do with your lime tree. First of all, you must treat the collar rot. And then secondly, after a few weeks of the collar rot treatment, you have to – it doesn't necessarily mean to need to be a bigger pot, but you need to get the root system under the soil.
Fliss, good luck with that. And to everyone who's called and texted in today, who we didn't get to, our apologies. Happy Mother's Day to you for tomorrow if you're a mum. And if you're someone who has a rough day on Mother's Day, look after yourself. Take care. Sabrina Hunt, thank you.
My pleasure. Bye.
See you next week.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.